Football season obviously underway, and if you play fantasy football, the odds are you probably already hate your team and wish you could draft all over again. Well, on FanDuel, you can draft a new team every week. As an example, this weekend, I found some great buys with Geronimo Allison and Tyler Boyd at wide receiver. Then I could afford the big guys like Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley. My lineup placed in a couple of tournaments, so not a bad Sunday for Van Smack. If you're not a fantasy expert, that's okay too. FanDuel is clearly the place to play. FanDuel has something for everybody, and there are more ways to win than ever before. New users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. So come play with me at FanDuel.com/CBS Sports. FanDuel.com/CBS. Broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios, I'm Jim Rome. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We start hour number two. And it's a good time for you to call right now because I've got an interview coming up at 10:40 with Ian O'Connor. He's got a brand new book out on Bill Belichick. It's called Belichick, but that's not until 40 past, so you should call me right now. Don't waste time. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll-free. I'm looking at the call screen. Jeff in Southfield jumping in. Hang in there, Jeff. I'll get to you. You know it. Crazy Jeff. We're still not even sure who he is. Is he really Crazy Jeff, or is he Mike and Indy? Or is he somebody else pretending to be Mike and Indy who's pretending to be Jeff in Southfield? Or is he really Jeff in Southfield? I really don't know. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. And shoot me an email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Go to my Instagram page. Go to my Facebook page. Nobody gets blocked. Mark it up. Come with whatever you want. Ian O'Connor is coming up at 40 past. Next hour, David Njoku, Cleveland Browns tight end. We are talking Cleveland Browns football. Not talking Cleveland Browns football. Like, over the years, I've done plenty of that. We are talking Browns football in a positive sense. We are interviewing Browns players. It's good. Feels great. I like it. Raider fan, I will get to you. We talked about last night's game already. We talked about roughing the passer. Actually, we haven't hit that too hard, but I'll get there. I do want to talk about the NBA Media Day. Hawk, far be it from me to ask you to make a programming decision here, especially given your track record and the week that you're having. Dude, stop moping around, man. Suck it up. You spoke to Jeff in Southfield. What's a better idea? For me to go with what I want to go with, or for me, because I said this yesterday, I will let people cut the line if they make the show better. This guy absolutely made the show better in the past. What should I do here? Okay. Hawk is saying we should get to him, but not before I do what I need to do. Jeff, don't hang up. Or go ahead and hang up if you want, but I will take your telephone call after I lay this out. I need some time to lay this out. The NBA is not that far off, right? 28 of the 30 NBA teams, in fact, held Media Day yesterday at their respective facilities. So that's over 400 players and a bunch of coaches spitting and rapping into mics and camera phones for hours on end. And if you missed any of it, that's what I'm here for, because I didn't. I got all of it. And even though most of it was kind of a waste of time, largely forgettable, there were at least three moments that I think I've got to run back here today. Now, me, I'm not a list guy. I'm not a top three guy or a countdown guy or a top 10 click through it guy. But there's no doubt there were three very specific pieces of audio that stood out above all the rest. And I went over all of it for you. I cut through all the crap for you. The collection is so strong and so good that even Stephen Adams calling a reporter a bleeping wanka did not even crack that group. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what this audio is, but I'll get to it a little bit later in the segment. I'll tell you what it is a little bit later on. But you know me, even though I'm not a list guy, I am kind of a game guy. I like to play games. I like to be interactive with it. So why don't we play a quick version of that classic jungle game, You Guess the Sound. Guess the sound. Ready? I'm going to play it for you now. And then you just go ahead and start tweeting and emailing your guesses, because the reveal is coming up in a few moments. All right? You guess the sound. Guess the sound. I'm going to play it. You guess what it is. You guess what it is by tweeting at me or emailing me. All right? Are you ready for guess the sound? Here we go. Alvin, guess this sound. All right. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've seen that, or maybe you have not. I hope you have not. This is a good one. One more time. Guess this sound. All right. So go ahead. Hit me up right now on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Hit me up with your best guesses. I'm going to give it up later on this segment, but I want to read some of the guesses. All right. Now, from 3-1. My third favorite sound from yesterday was brand new L.A. Laker, and I couldn't wait for this guy to get to this town because you know what he's going to do. Michael Beasley. Bees gonna bees. Michael Beasley was talking to ESPN about how he thought the season might go. Now, you tell me, in this situation, who had their mind melted more, Mike Beasley or Dave McMenamin of ESPN? Check out this exchange.
With taking a day at a time, where should this Lakers team end up by the end of the year?
Exactly where we want to.
Which is?
Where we want to be.
Where do you want to be?
Taking it a day at a time.
But if once you add up all those days, where can you end up?
The future.
All right, we got to run that back. I mean, forget Mikey B and Davey Mack. Forget Mikey B and Davey Mack. Forget those guys. I don't know about you, my mind is melted. Run that back one more time, Alvin.
With taking a day at a time, where should this Lakers team end up by the end of the year?
Exactly where we want to.
Which is?
Where we want to be.
Where do you want to be?
Taking it a day at a time.
But if once you add up all those days, where can you end up?
The future.
Bro, way to stay in that fight. Way to stay in battle. Forget Mikey B and Davey Mack having their minds melted. I'm telling you, mine is a puddle of tie-dye goo right now. And that's amazing. McManaman, way to go, bro. Way to hang in there. That was not easy. Seeing the future. Taking it one day at a time. Mike, only you, dude. Only you. And never, ever, ever, ever change. Even better than that, though, was the back and forth between Enes Kanter of the Knicks and him describing how excited he gets when he thinks about the Knicks making the playoffs.
That should be everybody's goal. You know, it's the playoffs. When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I doubt you are. Note to self, do not talk about the postseason around Kanter. Now, that really shouldn't be a problem, considering he plays for the Knicks. But now is the rare time of the year when they're still mathematically alive. So be careful around this dude. I mean, mathematically, they could. But in case he wasn't clear, talking about the playoffs makes his nips hard.
My nipples get hurt.
A lot of talk about nipples on this program lately. Have you noticed? Batman and his pepperoni nips.
I'm Batman.
Kanter talking about how he gets aroused in that manner.
My nipples get hurt.
When we talk about the playoffs. E. Bro. Let me get back to you around December when the Knicks season is already over and James Dolan is forcibly removing legends from the Garden. In the meantime, I don't want to get too close to you right now and accidentally get bladed. Can you imagine this guy's jersey when he's playing the Thunder? Man, no wonder that guy had to leave.
My nipples get hurt.
Wow, man. Stop saying that. All right, so those are the top two. You can imagine the winner if that didn't win. That brings me to my favorite sound bite of the day. The sound that I gave you an opportunity to guess. One more time before I tell you what it is. What do you think this sound is? Our favorite game here in the jungle. Guess the sound. Guess the sound. Really quickly, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And I'll read some of those guesses. And some of these are incorrect. And I'll see what they are. I know what they are. But I'll share them with you. One more time. Guess the sound. Ian O'Connor's coming up at 40 past the hour. Batman's in the house.
I'm Batman.
Okay. One more time. Alvin, guess that sound. Steve in SA guesses. Thibs. It is not Tom Thibodeau, no. Good guess, though. That's Tibbs. He's the GOAT. Tibbs is the GOAT. It's not that. 12 Wood guesses on Twitter. That sound was me 3 minutes before you called the Woodscopes. Hey, Wood, it's 3 minutes after 7 Pacific. Rome is on hold. What's going through your mind? That's a really good guess. Really good guess. Will Ferrell. It's not correct, though. At Mook Doggy 805. Is that the sound from Revenge of the Nerds? It is not. At comedian Billy Bo tweets, Dear Jim, that crying is Rex getting racked. Is that crying? I know it's not Rex getting racked. That's never going to happen. At Napoleon Solo tweets, A-Rod's laugh. Hashtag guess that sound. I like that he hashtagged it, though. Guess that sound or guess the sound. That's not right. Rome, guess the sound. Is it Jeff in San Antonio trying to spit out his wedding vows? It is not. I promise to love and honor. Guess the sound, Rome. That sound is Dane Cook staring at a 14-course meal after hearing the chef say, no bleeping way he finishes that. Aaron in Omaha. That's a good guess. That's a really good guess. Any other guesses before I go to the answer? All good, none correct. Because that sound was the sound of one of the more quiet, low-key, mysterious dudes in the association, which is why it's kind of jarring on some level. That sound was Kawhi Leonard laughing.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
I mean, I got to say, in context, it's even better. When you just kind of isolate that laugh, it's funny. But in its entire context, it is so much better. I mean, first off, my man, are you all right? I mean, seriously, are you all right? That sounded like it hurt. Look, I understand that not being able to see a reporter in the media section might be construed as a fairly hilarious thing. But bro, don't strain that hard. Let it out. Let it out. That's not just the most bizarre laugh I've ever heard. I mean, it's that. It's also coming from a guy that we haven't heard say anything in a long time. You know, Kawhi, I like Kawhi a lot. Kawhi's actually been on the program. Not in a minute or so, but Kawhi has been on the show. I've interviewed him before. So I know he's got some things to say, but we haven't heard from him in a long, long time. Not all of last season. And that was a really strange noise to come up with. A really shocking noise to come up with. I mean, check it out. We could actually play another game. When you first heard that, you tell me, did you think that was a laugh or did you think that was something else? Did you think he was crying? Does this sound like a guy that's happy and laughing or somebody who's in pain? We could play a game of Yanni or Laurel.
Laurel.
Remember that really stupid thing that melted all of our minds? Not only for hours, but like days?
Laurel.
Yanni or Laurel?
Laurel.
So let me put that into your head. Is Kawhi's laugh actually Kawhi laughing or is he sobbing? Listen to this one more time. You tell me, did he hear the funniest thing he's ever heard or the saddest thing he's ever heard? Like, is that the best joke he's ever heard? Or did somebody tell him something horrible? Go ahead. If I didn't tell you what the context was, you'd have no idea. I mean, imagine living with this cat and hearing him laugh from another room. You'd have no idea what the hell kind of emotion he was experiencing. But then again, you really never know a Kawhi, right? I'm going to say that does not sound like a laugh. If I didn't know any better, I would think that somebody just told him that somebody very close to him just passed. I don't know how to tell you this, Kawhi, but, you know, somebody very close to you just passed. Right? Kawhi? I don't know how to tell you this, but you've been traded to the Toronto Raptors. Just kidding. I love the Raptors. Anyway, he in effect, what he's saying is, hey, listen, I'm a fun guy. I'm a fun guy. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a fun guy. I like to have a laugh like anybody else. All right, so here's hoping that Bees never changes. Cantor never talks about the playoffs in public ever again. And Kawhi never stops busting up and answering questions from people that he cannot see. And the internet had a field day, understandably so. And there you go. Those are my three favorite sounds out of the 400 or so sounds from NBA Media Day. Jeff in Southfield, do not go anywhere. I still want to get to that telephone call, but I ran fat. I mean, nobody asked Cantor about making the playoffs. One, they're not making the playoffs. So the question's not a good question. Two, it's especially not a good question if he's going to say something like, it makes my nipples hard.
My nipples get hurt.
I don't want to hear that. Bro, you know, put a bra on that. Nobody wants to hear that.
My nipples get hurt.
Okay, fine. All right? It's a physical reaction. Maybe they do. You don't need to share that. We don't need to know that. And you didn't win. That was not number one. When we return, Jeff in Southfield gets his shot. Will Jeff in Southfield ever live up to the first call he made when he talked about Arthur Fonzarelli? There's no better place to watch football than at a Buffalo Wild Wings. So if you love football, yelling at TV screens with friends, wearing clothing with somebody else's name on it, then there is a seat waiting for you at Buffalo Wild Wings. You won't want to miss a single game this season on the wall-to-wall TVs. Come in for the football food and football beverages on their new $5 game day menu. $5 38-ounce pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light. $5 craft and import talls, including Blue Moon Belgian White and Sam Adams Boston Lager. Also, $5 cheeseburger and fries, $5 brat and fries, $5 select cocktails. And don't forget the traditional and boneless wings with 21 signature sauces and seasonings. Escape to football and their new $5 game day menu at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, and football. When football's on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Prices and participation may vary, subject to restrictions, limited time only, and not valid with any other offer. Drink responsibly.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We're going to the calls in just 1 minute. Jeff in Southfield's coming up. You never know what you get from this dude. This dude's out there now. He's out there. His first call to the program was one of the most unforgettable jungle debut phone calls I have ever heard. So wait on that. You know, in sports, there are smart moves and there are not so smart moves. I'll give you an example. Getting to practice on time, pretty smart. Parking in the coach's spot, not smart at all. The same thing is true when you're hiring. There are smart ways and not so smart ways to get things done. Like job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes, not smart at all. Posting a job on ZipRecruiter and letting them find the right candidates for you, very, very smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job. It actively invites them to apply. So that way you get qualified candidates fast, which is why it is rated number one by employers in the U.S. based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with at least 1,000 reviews. Right now, You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. Try it for free. The service is amazing. Take advantage of it. Try it for free. Simply go to ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. If you're looking for a smart way to find the right talent for your team, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Ian O'Connor coming up at 40 past. Right now we go to the phone, Southfield. Jeff in Southfield. Good to have you back. Jeff, what's up?
Breaking news, live on the Jim Rome Show. We have discovered why Malcolm Butler was not played in Super Bowl 52. Ask yourself, what did Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia do in the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? The answer is, he became a Detroit Lion. As everyone knows, the Detroit Lions are the most ridiculously incompetent sports team, bar none, in the history of all sports. Their never-ending losing culture is so renowned, it has a famous tag name, Same Old Lions. Turns out, Same Old Lions is more than just a tag, it's a transmittable disease. And when Matt Patricia shook hands with Lions GM Bob Quinn, he caught it, and he took it back to Foxborough and spread it to Hoodie. So, on Super Bowl 52 game day, they were both ill from the Same Old Lions virus, and they made a decision that only the Detroit Lions would make. They sat an impact player on Super Bowl Sunday. So there you have it, folks. The reason Malcolm Butler didn't play in Super Bowl 52, Same Old Lions. Jim, I don't know if the Lions will ever win a Super Bowl, but I'm positive they earned an assist in last year's. Fortunately for the Lions, the Patriots got such a heavy dose of Same Old Lions that they were still ill from it last Sunday night, leading the Lions to an easy victory. And in the process, the Lions discovered a brilliant new offensive weapon, infecting your opponent with the Same Old Lions virus. Every week, Lions GM Bob Quinn must go to the opposing team's facility and shake hands with a prominent coach or player. If they will not let him in the building, he must cough or sneeze in their direction, so as to infect them and weaken them with the Lions losing culture. Hey, Matt Patricia, you may well be a rocket scientist, but it doesn't take one to know that that pencil behind the ear bit was played out by the second time you did it. Why don't you replace that pencil with a comb or a razor or a toothbrush? Oh, and Matt, if you want to discipline your players with lots of rules, then why don't you show them you have some discipline over the basic rules of your own personal hygiene? Bro, your grooming is sub-Wookie. Seriously, dude, Chewbacca's sister has deemed you undateable. Atlanta may have Matty Ice. In Detroit, we have Matty Lice. Even Rupert from the CBS hit show Survivor thinks you're sloppy. And so does the dude who proposes to his girlfriend at the baseball stadium. Bro, you stand out as poorly dressed at a crowded summer day at Six Flags. And that's impossible. Jim, there's a small army of dudes who like to rock the Matt Patricia look, and some of them, including Matt, are married. I was confused by that, but my confusion was cured when I saw a commercial that said, you don't have to be lonely at Farmers Only. This is a website that disagrees with the classic ZZ Top song. At Farmers Only, they believe every girl's crazy about a poorly dressed slob. Jim, I'm guessing the few women who are actually joining Farmers Only might be a degree or two less than supermodel beautiful. And what I mean by that is, not only would they have trouble getting picked up at the Star Wars cantina on Luke Skywalker's home planet of Tatooine, but they would have trouble getting hit on in Harvey Weinstein's room. Bam!
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
My man just spent 4 minutes setting up that line that got him run, but punctuated it himself at the end with bam! Jeff, you're a weird dude, man. You are a weird cat. Weird's good.
Let's get weird.
Just keep Harvey Weinstein's name out your mouth. Jeff in Southfield, Mike in Indy. I think we're safe in assuming that's not Mike in Indy. Mike in Indy would never go on like that for that amount of time and say something like that. So I think we've got to that part of the question. Is it Mike in Indy? Nah, I don't think so. Definitely not Mike in Indy. Jeff in Southfield, the more I hear him, the more I get to know him, the more I know that it's not Mike in Indy. And that's just a different dude. You know, at first I thought, when I heard that first call about Arthur Fonzarelli, I'm like, this dude's kind of a nut in a good way, but it's all an act. She's being funny. Now I think that really is the way Jeff in Southfield is. All right, Jeff. Not as good as your first call, and you got run, but you never know what you're going to get from him. Jeff in Southfield, but I know this much. It is not Mike in Indy. All right, your thoughts, your reaction. When we come back, we change up. We talk to Ian O'Connor. He's written a new book about Bill Belichick. That's next. We're talking Browns football. Not only talking Browns football, talking to a Browns player, David Njoku. That's in the last segment of the program. I've got a lot more between now and then. Lots to get to. If you want to take a shot with the phones, go right ahead. Lots to get to, though. Keep it in mind. Including Jimmy Garoppolo. This guy's having a really, really tough time, both on and off the field. Ian O'Connor is next. First up, here's a sports update. Jay Berman has this one for you.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Jim, we'll start with college football news. And we have some injuries to report. Virginia Tech quarterback Josh Jackson out indefinitely. He's having surgery today for the broken leg he suffered in Saturday's upset loss at Old Dominion. Meanwhile, San Diego State will be without leading rusher Juwan Washington for up to 6 weeks. And Penn State senior running back Mark Allen is done for the year with a season-ending injury. All right, basketball now. T-Wolves head coach Tom Thibodeau reportedly met with Jimmy Butler yesterday, trying to convince him to report to training camp. Butler apparently still wants to be traded. The Timberwolves reportedly recruiting a third team to facilitate a Jimmy Butler trade, with the Clippers and Heat the leading landing spots for Butler. All right, baseball now. The Giants have fired general manager Bobby Evans, but executive VP of baseball operations and manager Bruce Bochy expected to survive the sub-500 campaign. Former All-Star third baseman Eric Chavez, according to reports, has emerged as a favorite to replace Mike Socha as the Angels manager in 2019. I'm Jay Berman.
They're in a league of their own when it comes to your weekly picks. Eye on Fantasy Football. Saturday night at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. Welcome back. A lot of reaction to Jeff in Southfield. People love him or they hate him. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You have to stay strong, just like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. In fact, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, and that was tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Kurt Orban. Meantime, as promised, we are joined right now by a senior writer for ESPN. He is a New York Times bestselling author. His newest book, Belichick, is out today. Ian O'Connor is my guest. Ian, nice to have you back on. How are you?
Jim, great to be with you.
Great to have you, Ian. So you have covered sports for a long time. You have more or less, Ian, seen pretty much everything. Have you ever seen anybody quite like Bill Belichick?
No, that's an easy question. Absolutely not. I've been speaking to 350 people for this book, Jim. I talked to a number of his friends, and they said he is an entirely different human being away from the facility and stadium. He just doesn't want to show that side of him in public. Yeah, it's funny because most celebrities and public figures, as you know, want to show their best side in public and hide their worst side in private. Bill does the reverse. It is a strange dynamic, but I think he feels that when he's at work and he's at that podium in his news conferences that people around the country are watching, he wants to set an organizational tone for his players that we give away no information. We're in the business of collecting and gathering information, but not sharing it. And I think his players do ultimately follow that lead.
Ian O'Connor joining us. His book, Belichick, is out right now. So, Ian, if we go back to 2000, when he was hired, what would you have said if I said to you 18 years later that he would not only still be coaching the Patriots, but he'd have 5 rings and you would be coming out with a book on him? If I had said that to you 18 years ago, what would you have said?
Well, I know exactly what I would have said because I wrote it. I wrote it was a bad hire, and I've heard about that from Patriots fans for the last 18 years. and rightfully so. I thought going in, and listen, 75% of the NFL agreed with me at the time. The entire New York Giants organization, talking to them, they agreed with me. Certainly the Cleveland people and Art Modell. Modell told Robert Kraft, this is the biggest mistake of your life hiring this guy. He had 4 losing seasons out of 5 in Cleveland. But beyond that, he didn't have – his public personality was terrible. And he certainly didn't project to be – to match up with the profile of a successful head coach in the NFL. So I would have been absolutely flabbergasted if he told me back in 2000 after I wrote that column that he was going to be what he became. But he did, and I've never been more wrong in my life. Obviously, he's 5-13 after his first games in New England, and then Tom Brady walked into his life. He needed that special player – as the centerpiece for his what would become a special program. If that doesn't happen, if Brady doesn't come into his life, if Mo Lewis doesn't put that hit on Drew Bledsoe, it's hard to tell what would have become of Belichick and the Patriots, but obviously that's not something he has to worry about.
Ian O'Connor joining us, and we'll talk about Belichick and Tom Brady. Ian's book, Belichick, is out right now. You know, again, Ian, you were far from the only person who thought that. I think most people thought that that was not a good hire. As an example, what about that situation with the Jets and how that ended? From all of your reporting, what exactly happened with him there?
I think, Jim, it was Bill Parcells' presence. I really do. And I know at the time that a lot of people, and Bill said this at his press conference, he cited the uncertainty in the new ownership. Was it going to be Woody Johnson? Was it going to be Chuck Dolan? And there was uncertainty there after Leon Hess had passed away. But I think it was really Parcells was tough on him with the Giants, but he was much tougher on Bill with the Jets. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. And at the time, frankly, I didn't either. I wish I had known that because I think the tone of that column I wrote might have been a little different. But Parcells was really – Ray Mickens, former defensive back for the Jets, told me that he heard Parcells berate Belichick in such a way that he couldn't even repeat on the phone what he said. And I just think Belichick got worn down. Almost in a sense the way maybe Brady got worn down in the way he's been coached for 18 years by Belichick last year, I think little Bill was worn down by big Bill, and it was time for him to get out from underneath Parcells. And ultimately, and I don't know if he'd ever say this for public consumption, but I think that was the primary reason. Plus, he had a very good relationship with Robert Kraft in New England when he was an assistant under Parcells. Parcells and Kraft hated each other, but Belichick did not.
Ian O'Connor is my guest. He's written a book called Belichick. It is out right now. So, Ian, when you talk about the fact that Tom Brady may be worn down from Belichick, I mean, this is the most discussed connection, the relationship between Belichick and Brady himself. How would you describe the relationship over the years, and in particular, the last couple of years, between the two of them?
Well, over the years, it was always, I've described this as transactional. There was never any warmth or love. They never went out to dinner. But it was the most successful partnership in the history of the league. So it really worked at the highest possible level. And I just think last year, really, it came to a head. All the 18 years of being coached the way he was in an unrelenting, unforgiving way by Belichick. And then I think, Jim, the night they drafted Garoppolo in 2014, it was inevitable that there was going to be a clash. And it happened last year. Brady outperformed the system and forced them to trade Garoppolo, and then Belichick later on takes away access to Brady's business partner and life coach Alex Guerrero. The Malcolm Butler benching didn't help because Brady was really upset about that. So in the offseason, my sources told me that late March, even, Brady was still thinking of walking away rather than play another season for his head coach.
Now, Ian, when you talk about Tom Brady outperforming the system and that forcing them to trade Garoppolo, what do you mean by that?
If you look at that system over the years, every very good or great Patriots player has basically been moved out 1 year early rather than 1 year late. That's the Belichick way. That's the Patriot way. Whether it started with Lawyer Malloy, if you want one penny too much relative to your value against the salary cap, in Belichick's estimation, he's going to move you out. He's going to nudge you into retirement. He's going to make a trade. He's going to do something to go to a younger, cheaper player. He's done that his entire time in New England. And Brady was next, and he knew it. As soon as they drafted Garoppolo that night, Belichick said he cited Brady's age, his contract status. He said he'd rather be early than late at that position. Brady knew that a warning shot had been fired right over his head. He was next to go, and he outperformed the system and the machine that was going to churn him out next. And he forced them to trade Garoppolo instead. And that was the ultimate confrontation, the moment of truth. And I think after that, you see the relationship getting more tense. up until the point, again, where he seriously considered walking away.
You know, Connor is my guest. He's written a book called Belichick. It is out today. I think, Ian, you could probably argue pretty easily that Belichick does not have five rings without Brady. Brady does not have five rings without Belichick. If you had to argue, though, who needs the other more?
That's the million-dollar question. I've been asked that a lot. And when you write a book about Belichick and you're trying to promote it, obviously you're a little biased and maybe you're thinking Belichick and his system and culture. And I would probably lean that way, but I think it's really more of an even deal in that I think Belichick was worth at least one ring extra to Brady, and Brady was worth at least one ring extra to his coach. And if you put them with other people, in other words, if you put Brady with Tony Dungy, who has, what, one ring? I think Dungy would have two. If you put Belichick with Russell Wilson, who's good, but he's not Tom Brady, I think Russell Wilson would have two rings. That's the way I look at it. It's very difficult to say one is more important than the other. But at the end of the day, Belichick is the one who created the culture and the system around the quarterback. If you force me to give someone a slight edge, I'd probably go with him.
Like, and maybe the same question in a different way, Ian, but if you were to ask Belichick and he were to answer it honestly, how many other quarterbacks does he think that active quarterbacks or quarterbacks of this generation, does he think that he could have won five rings with?
I don't know if any. I'm sure he believes. I know he has the highest regard for Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't, right? There's no way Aaron Rodgers has one ring right now if he's been coached by Belichick his entire career and in that same system. I think he would agree with that.
Sure.
And so you look at him, and I think that's a perfect example of a guy. Imagine him and his talent in the Patriot system. And I know I've reported this, that Tom Brady told one coach in the NFL not too long ago that maybe part of it was in jest, certainly the numbers, but he said if you put Aaron Rodgers and gave him the information I have every week from the coaching staff, he'd throw for 7,000 yards every year because he's
right.
Got so much more physical talent than Brady. But Brady has that intangible. I think he's the greatest football player ever, not just the greatest quarterback. And a lot of it is just he's just got that something. It's not he's got physical talent, but he's not a great athlete. He's a great winner. The intangibles are off the charts, and I think that has separated him from Rodgers and everyone else.
Ian O'Connor is my guest for a few more moments. He's got a brand new book out, Belichick. It is out today. Ian, what does Belichick think of Deflategate and the way that whole thing played out?
Well, in the early hours of it, there were a lot of people in that organization, particularly after Brady's first press conference. It was a very poor performance, as you recall, a very wobbly performance at the podium. There were a lot of people in the organization had serious doubts about Brady's claim that he had nothing to do with this. And I think Belichick definitely was in that crowd, according to my sources. Ron, when some science came in backing up the Patriots, they were able to rally around some of that science, and they moved away from whatever doubt they might have had about Brady. But there were a lot of feelings there. I know that Brady was not happy and his camp was not happy when Belichick told reporters, go ask Tom about his preferences with game balls. I don't really know anything about it, but you should ask him. He put the whole case in his lap. And to me, that was in part anyway, Belichick saying, hey, I got Spygate. I already have my gate. This gate is going to belong to my quarterback, because Brady benefited from Spygate basically as much as Bill did, but the face of Spygate is Bill. And I think if there was going to be a face on Deflategate, it was not going to be Belichick.
Interesting. In your opinion, though, realistically, could Belichick have really not known what was going on at all?
You know, Jim, a lot of people around the league believe that, and I do too. I do too. I know there are some people who question that, but I thought he was credible in his press conferences after Deflategate first broke. And I actually do believe that. You'd be surprised at how many head coaches and some of them don't even like Bill, share that opinion. That's one where they say if that was anybody, it had to be the quarterback because he's the one who's lording over those game balls. And then, of course, he had the two equipment guys in on it as well. Brady is sworn he had nothing to do with it, but he did serve that penalty. And I think that I actually believe Belichick's story on that one. I do.
You know, Connor is my guest. We have him for a couple of more moments. This book is brand new. It's out today. It's called Belichick. So, Ian, bottom line, how do you think it ends in New England for Bill Belichick? Does he keep coaching for years to come, or do you think that the end is in sight and near?
Well, he's a young 66, and he still loves it very much, according to people close to him. And so I think he's going to coach another 5 or so years, and Brady might play another 5 or so years, so maybe they'll go out together. I do think they have one more ring left in them. This roster certainly doesn't look good enough to do it this year, but I think winning one more, Belichick breaks the tie with Lombardi, Brady. There's a bunch of great athletes who've had 5, and maybe he matches Jordan with 6. I do think that'll happen in the next 2 to 3 years, but that would be it. And I think the narrative then would be, hey, you guys, many of you said our relationship was done. It wasn't functional anymore. And we came back and we climbed the mountain one more time and we did it again. And I'd like to, if that happens, I think it'd be a great story to write. I hope I'm there to do it.
So, Ian, what do you think life would look like for Belichick after coaching?
You know, he's not one to, he likes golf and he's played Pebble Beach. So I think he's going to do a little of that. He'll be sailing a little bit around Nantucket. I think he's going to work a long time. I really do. I just think he's a guy who absolutely adores football as much as his father did, and I think as much as his children do. I believe the reason his children, his two sons are on staff now. His daughter is apparently, she's known to be a very good women's lacrosse coach at Holy Cross, and I think they gravitated toward that profession because they saw just how much their father adored it. I really don't think we're going to be worrying about what he's going to do post-career in the NFL because I think he's got a lot of career left.
He's a senior writer for ESPN, a New York Times bestselling author. He spoke to more than 350 people for this book. It's brand new. It's out today. It's called Belichick. Ian O'Connor, our guest. Ian, great to get caught up. Thank you so much. Congrats on a great book and really nice to talk to you.
Oh, thanks as always, Jim. I appreciate it.
That was fun, Ian. Nice job. Nice to have you back. Ian O'Connor. All right, so your thoughts on that. Some of that you may have known. And some of that you probably did not know. What are your thoughts? 1-800-636-8686. Also, going back to something earlier this hour, Jeff in Southfield. Boy, this guy's like the most polarizing guy we've had in quite some time. I mean, a lot of the best callers on this show are always polarizing. But maybe nobody more so than this guy. And I'll run down some of the reaction to that. And a lot more coming up in hour number 3. We're talking Browns football in hour number 3 and more. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. That third hour is next.